Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Welcome to Inside Conan. I'm Mike Sweeney.
And I'm Jesse Gaskell. We are your hosts.
Yes, we are your hosts.
And we're going to take you behind the pompadour at the Conan show.
Sure. That's our promise to you. And I'll tell you a little about ourselves. I've been a writer on The Conan Show for 24 years.
Wow.
I swear I've spent more time with Conan than his wife.
That's probably true.
I don't know if that's something to brag about. But if he ever fires me, I think I'm entitled to at least 50% of everything he's ever owned.
Oh, yeah. That's great. No fault divorce.
Mm-hmm. That's why we moved the show from New York to LA.
To California,
I'm so
yeah.
happy.
And I'm also a writer on the show. I've been writing for 5 years here, which I've calculated is equivalent to 2,000 of Conan's leather jackets.
You know, there's a ranch in Wyoming that only raises cattle for it's exclusive. And we're going to go behind the scenes, as I like to say, you know, talk to the people who put the show together, and kind of get a sense of the foibles, the highs and lows that went into
putting
that show together for the week.
And the low jinx.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to talk to some of our coworkers, get a window into our office drama, mm-hmm. gossip.
Right.
And we are going to play some of our personal highlights from Conan every week.
Yeah, our personal picks for our favorite clips
yeah.
from the week.
And including some footage that didn't even make the air. So
yes.
You're getting
audio exclusives.
Our first guest today has been with the show a long time.
Yeah, I think since show number one,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, since he never moved on. It's a little sad.
It is a little sad, but he got comfortable here and has stayed.
Not too ambitious.
Conan O'Brien is our guest.
Yes.
Very first guest. And we're also going to uncover some new depths to one of our show's producers, Jordan Schlansky.
Yeah, we're going to peel back some of that onion's layers.
Mm-hmm.
Find more onion underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to break down a sketch from this week with one of our brilliant fellow writers, Jose Arroyo.
You know, a lot of sketches here get right on the show. It's one rehearsal and they're on. Some sketches have a little longer
gestation period.
And we're going to talk to Jose about one of those sketches.
But first, let's talk about what happened this week.
Oh, my God. What a week.
An exciting week.
Javier Bardem was here.
Yes.
Ben Sinclair from HBO's High Maintenance.
Mm-hmm, love that show.
And comics Cedric the Entertainer and Mo Welch.
We made hay of the Michael Cohen testimony.
Yes.
This was one of my favorite of Conan's jokes.
Cohen said this. This was fascinating to me. He said that President Trump has gone to great lengths to keep his SAT scores secret. He's president of the United States.
Yep.
His scores must be really bad.
Yeah.
They must be really, really bad. If he's president, he's like, no one can ever know. I may never get a job after this. My God, they must be terrible. No wonder Trump created his own university. Seriously, I was thinking about that. He created his own university. Hey, Ma, I got into Trump University. High five me, Ma.
And that was Conan's patented Donald Trump impression.
Yeah, I can't believe SNL hasn't asked him to do it.
And now, as promised, it's time to chat with Conan O'Brien.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Conan.
It's very...
Thank you for walking downstairs.
Thank you for meeting us here at midnight.
Yeah. It's very... it's interesting because we spend so much time with each other. Working on these shows is a full-time gig. And we also, you two work on the travel shows. So we're constantly with each other.
Yes.
And on 15-hour flights.
On 15-hour flights. We just did one. And all we're doing now is adding microphones.
Right.
And so I don't really see anything very different about this.
We don't have white wine in front of us.
No, that's true. That should change. We should get some wine in here.
Yeah. That was promised as part of the condition to taking this podcast. We banked a few interviews and of staff members here. We talked to Sona.
Yep.
We also interviewed Jordan.
Yeah.
And I used...
Oh, you interviewed Jordan Schlansky.
Jordan Schlansky.
Well, we sat
by
here
choice.
And listened to Jordan.
It wasn't a conversation. It was a monologue.
Yeah, I have new respect. I mean, I already respected your bits with Jordan, but holy cow, it's like a water pipe breaks in an apartment and it just gushes out.
Yeah.
And you're like looking for a turnoff valve or something. It's hard to know when to cut in. It's almost impossible to cut in.
People always ask me, wherever I go in the world now, they come to me and I think the question I get 50% of the time next to, are those your real legs, is what's the deal with Jordan?
Yeah.
People just ask, what's the deal with Jordan? And
he's such an enigma.
He is an authentically strange guy. Mm-hmm. He's real. He's worked here at the show. If you, in your interview, could find out what he does at the show, that would be a magical...
That is an angle we're working on. We
didn't crack it yet.
Well, he did. He did say he sent an email.
He admitted to sending an email.
From his office.
Yeah.
But he
printed it out for us as if to prove.
But what did it prove what he does at the show? Because
no.
People think I'm kidding. I honestly don't know what Jordan does at the show. I don't.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
That was part of our mission, is to find out what he does.
And we also tried to find out what he does for fun at home. Mm-hmm. And that was truly sad.
I don't want to know about his home life because I think he might go home and unplug himself and just power down in a closet. And I don't want to know about that.
That's kind of basically what he said. And also when we recorded with him, he just sat quietly. And then the second the microphone's on, he's off to the races.
Yeah.
It is literally an on-off button.
Well, because we are humans using machines right now to communicate. He is a machine using other machines that he's probably related to to communicate. So he looks at a microphone and he thinks that's his uncle, you know? So I don't know. Good luck to you, I say. I think you bit off a lot starting with him.
We did. We realized that. We both started drifting off, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about taxes and gathering receipts.
I was scheduling a root canal.
Mm-hmm. Jordan was explaining how he likes his flan to me. And while he was doing that, I was able to list all of these dead from the Civil War. All of them. All of the people that were lives that were lost. And it took the same amount of time. And that was terrible.
Some would say a lot more interesting.
We always felt guilty when we were in Italy because we'd been shooting all day and we shot 4 segments, which is exhausting, and covered, I don't know, 150 miles. And we landed in this hill town of Cortona.
Yep.
All of us exhausted.
Yeah.
And we still had to shoot one more scene, which was you having a sit-down dinner with Jordan.
Oh, my God. And I was so tired.
Yeah. We didn't start till about 9 either.
And I still feel guilty about this. We set up 2 cameras on sticks, on tripods, and just kind of aimed them in your direction. And then we went into the next room and ate
dinner.
We
walked away.
And we left you guys in there for 2.5 hours.
You guys went and had a nice meal.
We had a really nice meal. We were toasting.
You left me.
It was Valentine's Day also.
You left me alone, and it was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was in this little town on Valentine's Day, not with my wife, my beloved wife, but at a small table with Jordan, who was monologuing the whole time in his insipid way about various kinds of cheeses. And I could hear you guys in the other part of the restaurant having a really good time.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there wearing my mic pack, made up so that I show up on camera, and listening to this machine, this howl from your, you know.
That's right.
From, yeah.
We had a baby monitor so we could... could listen
yeah,
in and
we
make
could
sure
tell if you if you'd
things
been murdered.
Were okay. There were no emergencies. they were like, "Let's order our prime pasta."
That was, those travel shows are rough enough because we're constantly shooting. We shoot all the time, but mm-hmm. with Jordan there, that added an extra layer.
Yeah, because even the meals were work.
But you know what I have to say, and I want to make sure I get this out. It's funny because my relationship with Jordan. This is me being completely honest. He is infuriating in the ways that everyone can see when we're on camera together. Mm-hmm. But I also have real affection for him. And so it's this perfect yin-yang
yeah.
with him. He's constantly, I kind of want to choke him to death, but I also kind of, you know, it's Jordan. He's here with me. He's been with me a long time. He's a loyal friend. It's this weird line we walk.
When you guys are really good comedy partners, I mean, not him, not intentionally, but
right,
it
whatever it is, it seems to work.
Well, I wanted to bring up something else with Conan since we have him.
Yes,
Conan, you are the host of the show. You're the executive producer of the show, but you're also a writer. That's your background. Mm-hmm. Do you miss at all? You know, just being coming to work and being a writer on a show and. And contributing in that way, but not having quite as many other fires to put out all the time.
Used to, back when the show, years and years and years ago in the 90s, when there was so much pressure and the show was new, I used to daydream about being a writer on the show.
Yeah.
Because I did think, not being egotistical, but I did think this is a funny show. We're doing a lot of cool, interesting stuff. And I did sometimes think, wouldn't it be nice to be a writer here? Because I would sometimes see writers in the hallway who didn't have things to produce that day,
mm-hmm.
and they were hanging out.
Yeah.
And they were chatting with people and goofing around, and I never got to do that. I always felt, as much as I did kid around with the writers, I always felt this weight on my shoulders. And so early on, I envied writers sometimes that there's no gun against your head right now. There's no show staring at you that has to be on tonight, and the camera's going to be on you, and you have to do it right, and it's up to you. But then as the years went on, and I realized the difference in pay. as the years went on, and I sort of got more muscle memory and learned how to do the job without feeling all that pressure. I do like being in charge. I do like... I like exerting my vision or whatever I think.
Yeah, you don't along have with to the help take of all notes these people. From anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I do like being the host of the show. So no, I don't anymore. I don't mm-hmm. wish I was a writer. I do get to contribute creatively. I don't know. I just said that like Siri. I do get to contribute creatively, but.
You do have I think you still do it with Matt O'Brien, the current head writer.
Head writer and no relation.
Right. And you used to do it with me is when you'd throw in a funny beat in a comedy piece.
Yes.
And then we'd be taping the show and that beat that you added, if it got a giant laugh on camera, you would just literally pause and look over at me and smile.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, this, okay.
You know, it's so funny. There is the show that we do for anyone who, America who cares, and fans. And then there's this show that I've always done completely for myself. And there are moments where I'm just, you'd be standing over with mm-hmm. Jeff Ross at the sort of producer's table, and I'd be doing the monologue and would get to a joke. And then I would have changed the punchline to something different.
Right.
And I'd say that punchline and it would get a huge laugh. And I would literally take the time to peer over, give you a look and a little nod like, and that is how, almost as if to say, and that is how it's done.
Crowd is like, what's going on?
Yeah. And it was something that I only did It gives me so much delight in that moment that I'm being such an asshole, and and only you and I are in on this completely idiotic moment where you guys have written 80% of the show, or what you've written all this 85. Stuff, whatever, 85, and it's all gone really well. And the guy whose name is on the show
needs more credit.
No, but takes the time to do this little, and you see that I have added something as well.
Now, the other time you would do that is when
even better.
A longer look of more pleasure is if there was a back and forth and you'd be like, I don't think this is going to work. It's like, just, I'm telling you, it's going to do great. The crowd's
writers would be convincing me it's going to work. And I'd say, it just doesn't feel funny to me. It's going to work. I would do it. And I would, it wouldn't get anything.
Yes.
And I'm so sick that I would be delighting in, it's me not getting the laugh.
Right.
No one else knows. I'm up there not getting the laugh, and I'll be looking over at you guys like, I told you, with a big smile, like I'm a puppy that just got a big cookie. And it's like, you idiot.
So not only did you not get delighted. The laugh, you're pausing and smiling off camera.
I'm smiling off camera.
What's happening to him?
No one knows why, but in those moods, I say after the show, I just be like, oh, that was delicious.
Oh.
That was delicious when that thing you guys made me do that I didn't think would work didn't work. Wasn't that delicious? And you're like, what are you talking about? It's a crazy way to make a living. I will say that. It's a crazy way to make a living to try and make comedy every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to come up with all kinds of ways to keep yourself sane. I really believe this, that seem crazy later on to other people. You know, I don't know. There's just all these little games that you play to just keep yourself sane. Like, I'm going to take great delight in the piece, in the parts of the show that fall flat because I didn't think they would work, and then I was proven right. Well, that's crazy. But over the years,
you're rooting for us to fail.
Yes, I've often said I'm rooting against you guys to the writers. I'm rooting against you because when you fail, it gives me such delight.
Whatever it takes.
Well, but there is. We all clearly have the same thing in us that needs.
Writers, even a day without having something, some small, even a small part in the show, I know you just start going, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Start going through withdrawal.
Yeah. And I think we have, I mean, I know having worked on these other shows, having been a writer on Saturday Night Live, that the pressure on our show is much less because it's much more collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's, or I'm not keeping track of.
Right.
Which writer's getting a lot on, which writer isn't getting a lot on. Sometimes you can tell when people cast themselves or if they're on a real hot streak, but there's not the tally. At Saturday Night Live, the real estate to get a piece on the show was so small, and there's 20 shows a year, and there's only so many spots, and everybody is so panicked. Gee, I didn't have anything on this last week. I got to get something on this week. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm going to get anything on this week, and you've got one night to come up with it. I mean, I still have nightmares about that part
of
my career.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I still.
Oh, my God.
I still have nightmares where it's Tuesday night, and I'm trying to come up with something. And I put a lot of,
I just
put a lot of pressure on myself. But I always had myself convinced that I was hanging on by my fingernails. And then later on, I was told by writers like Robert Smigel, no, what are you talking about? You know, you were doing great. Why did you think that? I just had myself convinced.
It's all internal.
Yeah, and I would call my girlfriend at the time and always say, I think this is it for me. I don't think I can do this anymore.
I don't have what it takes.
I'm not cut out for this. And
I could have to host my own show.
Yeah, exactly. I need to host my own show where the standards are much lower.
Well, this has been fun.
This has been delightful.
Thank you, Conan. It's nice to just talk to you like this.
You know, it is... this has been really nice for me. I'm thinking about all the times, how many travel shows have we done? 11, 12?
Yeah, we just did number 11.
Yeah. And so I'm always in a weird cafe in some strange part of the world. And we're sitting around having drinks after like an 11-hour shoot.
And french fries.
Covered in dust and eating french fries because we're afraid to eat anything else. But when I heard this idea of you guys just talking about the show, I thought, I would listen to this. And I'd like to know what's happening on my show.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea. Yeah. I'm an insane Roman emperor who lost his mind, and I'm going to know what's happening here.
And you know, you can come on whenever you want. If you want to complain about things going on,
that's true.
Here,
yeah. If you have issues with people parking in your spot.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely use this as a forum to vent my rage because my family's had it. They don't.
Right.
Do you go home and talk about work?
Oh, no, not really.
Not at all.
I do with my wife, but I don't around my kids. I don't. And they don't really care. And I like, one of the things I like so much about my kids' relationship to my career is they I might as well be an insurance broker.
Yeah.
You know, they are like, oh yeah, he does that thing, but, you know, it's not like I'm, you know, whatever, Jay-Z.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Or Neil deGrasse Tyson. Thank you, a name that wasn't on anyone's lips. Leave it to Jesse Gaskell to bring up the name no one was thinking of.
Just thinking of who would be a rock star.
It's a great association.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Conan.
And thanks, Conan.
Hey, if any of our listeners are not listening to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend,
yeah,
your excellent podcast, I don't know why you would be listening to this and not that one.
Yeah, that really makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
But it's possible.
I guess.
But no, how dare you condescend to plug my podcast with your podcast. That's so insane.
Yeah, you're right. You didn't need that.
Our podcast is very big in Europe already. We're doing a tour of the Netherlands.
In Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm. I won't have it. It's just humiliating for you to plug my show. I won't listen to it. But anyway, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. It's burning up the charts. Check it out anywhere podcasts are sold.
After the break, you'll hear an unaired clip of Conan talking with High Maintenance creator and stoner extraordinaire Ben Sinclair. Plus, we'll tell you about our own experiences with trying to get Conan high. We're back with more Inside Conan.
Now we have some exclusive audio that we cut from the show. It's Conan's interview with Ben Sinclair. Ben, of course, co-created and stars in the HBO show High Maintenance, about a weed delivery guy. Of course, the subject of smoking marijuana is going to come up.
I've not ever been a big, I've tried it, you know, it just has never clicked with me. Andy, you've been around me when I've tried it and tried different. I always ask Andy to come over and sit with me when I try any kind of recreational drug, and he sits.
Hold his clammy hands.
Yeah.
Talk him down.
And I always have to have a talk show set up when I do it.
I imagine, and you have to get very close in proximity.
Yes, we do. But it's one of those things where it is never, I don't know, maybe I'm probably one of those people that wants to be too much in control.
Do you want to do it right now?
No.
Okay.
I'm afraid of what would happen.
Yeah.
I know what...
It's good TV, you know? Like, whatever.
We should do a very... We could do... I would... If we were going to do that, I would want it to be a very special episode of Conan that we promoted.
For sure.
You know? And then we got all the... All the sponsors were like Snoop Dogg edibles and, you know... The whole show had a theme.
Oh, yeah.
You came back and we just got high throughout the program and we saw how our personalities changed. That would be something I'd want to plan out. Not just do willy-nilly.
Yeah. Sounds like you'd be a lot of fun.
I want to exert complete control over my drug taking.
Also,
and everybody
any, guy,
else
who,
is drug
any guy who used the term willy-nilly over his upcoming... When I do heroin, it won't be just willy-nilly. There'll be a plan behind
this.
For
the purpose.
This was very frustrating for me because I have pitched, at this point, probably 10 different ideas where Conan gets high.
That's true.
And, I mean, especially now that it's legal in Los Angeles,
right. It's
not even taboo. It's mainstream. No. But he won't do it.
He won't do it. And Ben Sinclair invited him to get high right there on the show.
I know.
And
he probably had
like,
marijuana
no.
on him.
Yes. Most of our audience had it
yes.
on them. They were all ready to light up. And Conan's like, no. We have to plan it.
I need to check with my wife.
I love that getting high with Conan, of course, includes homework.
Yes.
You can't just get high.
I know.
It's got to be planned out.
What do you think it is? Because, I mean, have you broached this with him before? He does seem to have a little bit of an aversion
I
to
think
it.
I brought it up like in 1999.
Yeah.
And then I just haven't brought
when
it up
When weed
again.
Was invented.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think maybe because he's such a cerebral
Yes.
Comic. He likes being in control.
As crazy as he's acted, I think there's always some control there. And so the idea of absolutely losing total control.
Yeah.
Is scary.
It would be so fun.
Yeah, it would be. Why don't we maybe see if we can get him to do it sometime this year?
Maybe we don't tell him.
Oh,
we just give him
put it in his food. Tea.
Yeah,
we know Sona's assistant. We have access to his meals.
That's true.
Let's just drug him.
And we also Sona's his assistant, so we have access to weed.
Yeah, actually kilos of weed. So it's not.
Oh man.
Okay, so
I love this idea.
Yeah, we're gonna have one of the shows this year. Conan will be stoned out of his mind.
Yeah, and you get to guess which one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we'd be remiss doing a behind the scenes show if we didn't talk about one of the most mysterious members of our staff.
Yes. Producer Jordan Schlansky.
Associate producer Jordan Schlansky. Let's not promote him.
You're right.
Jordan is, I think people really want to know what his deal is because he seems very robotic.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like maybe he's not a real human being.
Right.
And we
want to. Some people think it's all an act.
Yeah, some people think it's all an
act. That he's an actor that we.
It's definitely not an act. No actor is that good.
No, he's here every day.
Yeah.
Drawing a salary from the show. I mean, unless maybe he's an actor on retainer. We don't even know.
Oh, he could be an Andy Kaufman.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I wish that was the case. But no, he's a real person. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to get to know him a little better. I mean, really, who he is at home, away from the cameras. So without further ado, this is Joie de Vivre with Jordan.
Hi, Jordan. Hi.
Jordan.
Hello. Certainly you didn't expect anything more elaborate from a simple hi.
No, that was perfect.
Okay. Yeah. I personally am interested in hearing how you spend your free time. For instance, like this weekend, what do you have going on this weekend?
Okay. Well, I will tell you guys that again, what you see on the outside is disconnected to what is actually happening on the inside. And in fact, I can answer your question directly with an example of that. What I do...
You already have an answer to directly.
What I do physically is sit. But while I'm sitting, what's happening inside? There are thoughts, there's processing, not only the day's events, but in fact, in that scenario, the week's events. There's thinking about great concepts.
Thinking, breathing.
Science. Yeah.
Well, we wanted to do this to humanize you, and I'm not sure that we're being effective.
So you sit...
Yes, I like to be alone with my thoughts. I like to develop my thoughts. You may explore the outer universe. I explore the inner universe.
So this weekend, you're going to go home and you're going to sit.
I hope I have time to go home and sit. And preferably sit. Late at night.
Yes.
Maybe I'll watch Van Cliburn play Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto. Yeah. I'd love to. I never had a chance to watch the whole thing. I only watched the second movement. That's my favorite.
So this weekend... You say you hope you're able to sit.
I hope I'm able to sit, to shut out unnecessary distractions.
Like your family.
Like the world around me and explore the world inside me. That is what I like to do to unwind. You know, some people like to have a beer with the guys and watch the game. I don't know why my interest is any less valid than those.
Hey, what about TV shows?
Yeah, so I watch very few TV shows.
Uh-huh.
What about Conan?
But
do you watch the Conan show?
I do not watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
have you ever?
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, you should listen to this podcast as a way to ease in. We're going to.
Well, I mean, I watch the show while it tapes. So by that reckoning, yes, I've watched thousands of hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you're asking if I watch it a second time, I do not. I'd rather, as we mentioned, sit
in a dark room. Alone.
Sit in a dark or bright room or. Half-lit room.
Right.
That part of it doesn't matter.
So you don't watch any TV?
I watch a few shows. I do watch, This Is Us. Currently, right now.
Really?
Wow.
Now that show is a tearjerker.
Yeah, people cry at that show.
Do you cry?
Yeah.
Ever cry at that too?
Yeah, yes I do.
Oh.
Do you cry at the scenarios or the artistry of...
The artistry, because it's the acting. It takes a lot for an artist to make you cry. If you told me right now, my role as an artist and I have to make you cry, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Mm.
I don't know that I have the means to make you cry.
Yes. Yes, you have. You're able to do it.
Yeah, right. Don't underestimate
yourself. Don't sell yourself short.
What about podcasts? Do you listen to podcasts?
I don't.
Books?
Books, do you read?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay. sitting, and This Is Us. Hallmark Channel, perhaps, as well?
I've never knowingly watched the Hallmark Channel, okay. But it's possible I have.
All right. This is fascinating. We're eliminating, yeah. We're stripping away so many things. Fascinating.
Yeah, we're stripping the pain away, and we're finding the...
You're like a sculptor with a hunk of marble, like Michelangelo, right?
Yes.
So he doesn't build a statue, he uncovers it.
Did Jordan just compare himself to a statue by Michelangelo?
I think so. Maybe that's why he works out so much.
The thing is, a statue is mute.
Oh.
I think that's a big difference.
Anyway, that was Joie de Vivre with Jordan. So I hope you all feel a lot more joie now. We'll have more Jordan in the future. We're going to keep trying to crack that nut.
Mm-hmm.
But after the break, if you've ever wondered how a sketch gets on the air and all of the machinations and hand-wringing that go into just a single comedy sketch, we are going to show you.
We're back with more Inside Conan.
So we taped interviews with a bunch of staff members in the weeks before this launch. And one of our segments that we taped is called Writer Regrets.
Yes, it's when we talk to writers about their frustrations, their recent frustrations with trying to get material on the show.
Yeah, because there's for what you see that goes on the air, there's about 90% more that gets cut.
There's a mountain of comedy pig iron that is hauled out of the building.
Yeah, we should be making sausages.
Yes.
So we invited in fellow writer Jose Arroyo to talk to us about one.
My name is Jose Arroyo. I'm a staff writer on Conan. And am I the first writer regret
yes.
writer?
You are.
Okay. Yes,
yeah.
You are.
Oh, is it alphabetical?
How do you feel about that?
Well, I figure Arroyo, you start with the A's.
You had a big, ambitious sketch this week that we rehearsed rehearsal.
Yes.
The selfie scam.
Oh, yes, yes.
And maybe you can just tell us a little bit about it and,
okay,
you know,
sure.
What the sort of premise was.
Yeah, yeah. The only regret is that it annoyed Conan because we showed it to him twice. The first time I wrote it, you were in it, Jesse, as playing a 70s-ish woman who could play the keyboard and
I loved that role.
Thank you. Talked about
that
edibles.
That's very funny.
And how the sketch you just saw would have been much funnier if you had been on edibles.
Yeah.
And so it all turned out to be an ad for the edibles. Too conceptual for the new show, too conceptual for the half-hour format. You know, Conan's note was, let's keep it simple, more stripped down, and so on.
Well, I think he didn't like that it was sort of becoming self-aware at the end and implying that people wouldn't be laughing at the sketch, which they would have been.
Right.
Oh, I see. So I didn't give myself enough credit.
It wasn't that. I think it was the deconstruction of it or the copying, being self-conscious at the end.
Exactly. Which is a way to be too conceptual, like to jump out of the reality of the sketch.
Right, right.
This reality of the sketch was that a fan in the audience tried to get a selfie with Conan. And Conan
during the show,
and Conan caught him at it and said, "What are you doing? You're holding up the show." And then the fan sort of gives a sad explanation. My sister hurt her neck skiing. She was supposed to be here. I just wanted to get a selfie with me and you because she's a big fan of yours. They start playing on Conan's heartstrings.
Yeah.
And then he starts to become a little more demanding about what he really wants in the picture, and this wasn't the best angle, and so on. And
right.
Conan volunteers to call the sister. Her name is Becky. We cut away to a FaceTime of Becky, and it's just Andre Dubuche, another writer, not even dressed as a woman, saying, "This is Becky," and it all turns into like a strange East European scam.
An FBI sting.
And then that turned out to be an FBI sting. So again, layers upon layers of...
sketch inception.
It needed more moving parts.
It needed more... Conan...
There's already a Reddit group
that is trying to delve into it.
Yes.
Yes, it's Sketch-Anon. And but what Conan rightfully pointed out is that there were three sketches in there.
Yes.
There were three sketches masquerading as one.
It was also 12 pages long.
And it was 12 pages long. So he sent us, back to the drawing board and said, there's something there. Pare it down. Get rid of the
surprises. Everyone really loved the concept of the initial ask for a selfie.
Exactly.
And then when a person's like, oh, can we do it again? I think that, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
That premise of, someone who becomes demanding.
So right. Conan goes along with it. The second time we proposed the sketch to him, we got rid of
it. Was a week later.
It was a week later.
And now it was only 11 pages.
we cut out a whole page.
That's self-discipline.
So it was still too long. It was coming in overweight. But we ran it. It had fewer moving parts. And now it was
very
all about,
funny.
Thank you. And now it was all about the demands of the guy taking the selfie.
Yeah, he wanted a new shirt.
He wanted
a new shirt.
Yeah. His hand was shaking, so could we get a tripod out here? Once the tripod came out, it became a union camera operator's job.
That's
the
great.
Union camera operator had his own demands. Can we get a nice back plate here?
Yeah.
Can we get a dimmer light? And so it all still wound up being very, very time-consuming for Conan, and he was sort of champing at the bit to get the show going again. So he sent me back to the drawing board again, and so this was the second strike.
Yeah,
and I have one more strike next week.
Are you going to bring it back?
Oh hell yes! Oh yes!
Oh, you're bringing
good.
It back.
Oh my god!
Okay. Yeah! Oh yeah!
Oh, this is exciting.
Yes, and it is radically changed, and it is addressing things that I get the feeling Conan doesn't even know he wants. But it's down to 6 pages. Like,
yay.
It's
oh, yeah.
6 pages. It's
like a term paper. It's like, it was too many words.
Okay. Too many words and too many moves that made Conan talks about, you don't want to shackle Kong.
Yeah.
Shackle King Kong. Shackling Kong means locking Conan into a premise or a sketch where the majority of the time he's just saying things like, what's going on here? Now, who are you?
Mm-hmm. And then he does that thing with his fingers that we can't see.
He twiddles his fingers as if he's clearly in a broad, poorly done sketch where he's
to clarify, over-emoting. Who is King Kong?
King Kong was a
Godzilla.
Oh, in this scenario.
That was chained. And King Kong in this scenario is Conan, of course. So he doesn't like to be chained into a script where he is just reacting. Because as everyone knows, he's very funny. And we lock him into this, what he calls the Mr. Mooney role, which is a reference to the old Lucy Ball show. Where Lucy was the wacky or crazy or funny one, and Mr. Mooney was stuck reacting to her. So he doesn't.
It was
like
her
that.
Fourth show in the
mid
60s where
exactly.
she worked in a bank with Mr. Mooney.
Yes. Yes.
But you know, the Kong analogy, he's 40 foot tall and we're all tiny
airplanes.
We're like mosquitoes buzzing.
Buzzing.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why he likes it. We're not.
And he's still punching down on us.
And we're bugs. Bugs. I had a poster made where of King Kong swatting away planes driven, you know, piloted by the writers. And we kind of put Conan's face on Kong. And
yeah, we have a lot of specific metaphors.
Yes. The, Earl of Early.
Yeah.
Someone brought up the other day.
Chocolate chip cookie with more chips.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Build a jungle gym that he can play on.
Right.
That's something he always
to
talks
play in
about.
The jungle gym.
So keep the structure loose so he can improvise around it. That
right.
kind of thing.
The show is a cigarette boat.
Yes, yes. A speed boat instead of a cruise ship. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
We're on a pirate ship.
Yes.
On the high seas. I don't.
Yeah. A lot of nautical metaphors.
Yeah, a lot of we're in the water.
A lot of pillaging.
Earl of Early is if you're doing a bit with like 12 beats or jokes in it, Earl of Early. It's such a setup.
To
it's just an early joke.
Yeah,
it's an early
joke. To get you into the bit.
Exactly.
Oh, the clams. That was one I learned.
Sure.
Well, clams comes from sitcoms, I think.
Oh, it's clams is used at other places.
And, right?
And earlier from, I think, from jazz.
Music.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Buddy
when
Rich was this drummer who was caught recorded on tape saying, you guys are blowing clams out there, bad notes. He was berating his horn players.
Yes.
And so clams are cheap or bad notes, hack jokes, I guess, in our world.
They're go-to jokes.
Easy targets.
That will work. It's like, wow.
Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Any Chris Christie fat joke would be considered a clam. Any King joke.
Right.
Larry King joke is old.
Exactly.
Frequently, the things that make us laugh the hardest, the writers, don't do well for the audience.
Oh, very much so.
We put stuff in rehearsal that we know is going to get cut, but it's almost like to see Conan's reaction to it. Yes. And just have him get mad. Or sometimes they'll give it up, but it's everyone knows we can't do it.
No. Exactly. Yeah. It's undoable. Yeah, yeah, it's too harsh. It's too sad. It's too something.
There's too many props. Yeah.
Right. Yes, exactly. All right. Exactly.
Well, that I really look forward. I think if anyone can get this sketch on the air, it's you, Jose.
Oh, thanks a lot.
And guess what? He did it.
A lot of people are talking about last night's Best Picture winner. Some people are upset that the best... Excuse me? Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sir, what are you doing?
See, my sister's a huge fan of yours, and she was supposed to be here, but she hurt her neck skiing, so I came instead, and I was going to take a selfie of me and you to cheer her up. I didn't mean to.
Oh, okay. Well, that's actually, that's kind of sweet. It's just, it's not cool to sneak one. Why don't you just come up here and let's take a selfie for who is it?
Allison. Yeah.
I just read that off the card. Okay.
And Jose is now with us so that we can say congratulations.
Congratulations, Jose.
Thanks, thanks.
That sketch is no longer a writer regret.
It is not. No, it is longer a writer regret. It's made it on the air finally on Monday.
After how many how many times did we end up rehearsing it?
How many iterations?
Okay, from the time I wrote it back in January of 2017. No, from the time I started wrote it last month till it aired, I think we did it 8 times.
Holy, that has to be a record.
It might be.
That is a record.
For actually rehearsing something?
For rehearsing, yes. Yeah. For rehearsing, it's probably a record. Another record I'm proud of. Because everybody agreed that there was a basically good idea. Let's keep it alive and so on. And because it
was. Do you think a little bit of that was Conan torturing you?
A little bit? No, not a little bit.
It's true. But, if anyone else said, he would just be like, no, we're not doing this again. But it's like, oh, Jose, hey, let's keep him on the hook. Let's ruin his weekend 6 weeks in a row.
I do. I must look like a chew toy to him sometimes. I don't know what he sees when he looks
squeaking.
At me. I do squeak. but it's also, it was an idea that was not topical. So it could sort limp along and be done at any time.
Well, that way you can bring it back.
Sure,
that's right.
Sure. Another Let's person takes two. Another selfie. Sure. But it took a long time. And also it kept getting bumped. Even when it was almost ready to go, like when we got it down to the final form, something topical would come up and we would bump it for something that was more timely.
Yeah. And that happens a lot too.
That's good though. Like it's, you know, we'd rather have
keep
him
it in
comment.
The pantry.
Yeah, keep it in the pantry. And actually that helps the head writer. Mm-hmm. Have something in the chamber
to serve.
To serve. Have
or
something
a chamber.
Serve.
To shoot.
sure.
To go along with the blanks. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And for
that
you,
must feel good.
We have this congratulatory sound effect sting. And that's
nice.
It. That's your
thing.
That's do you have any new regrets now?
New regrets?
Other than doing this podcast again.
No new regrets.
Okay.
No new regrets. Looking forward to the next thing that'll take forever to get on the air.
Well, hopefully we won't have you in for another little while.
Yes, exactly. Someone else has to. Oh, you know. Oh, no.
Oh.
there is a sketch currently.
Yes. Vying.
For the number of times that we've run it, rehearsed it, and it hasn't gone on. Mm-hmm. And I won't say the name of the writer, but it could be
I think we
a contender.
Talk to him next.
Yes. I'll leave it at that as a teaser. But again, another really funny sketch that just keeps getting bumped for more topical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Okay, well, thanks, Jose.
You're welcome. Okay, bye, everyone.
And if you want to watch the whole sketch, because it was on television, head over to head over to teamcoco.com and watch the episode from this Monday, February 25th.
Yeah, we'll also put a link in the show notes for you for this episode.
Yeah.
So that's it for us for this week's Inside Conan.
Yes.
We hope we've given you a good peek at what we do here.
And we hope to keep doing this because for Jesse and I, it's a great way to get out of working on the
show.
Oh,
my God.
It's
I've got out of so many meetings.
We're total dicks.
Anyway, we'll be back next Friday with more dirt and more exclusives.
Yes.
Just for you.
Thanks for joining us on our first episode.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's great.
We like you. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
And produced by Julia Smith.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
Do you have a question about how the show is made? We'd love to hear from you. Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message for me and Mike.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you prefer.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.